Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Suffering. It's not anything that we look forward to. Whether it's just the plain old aches and pains of being a human being, you know, painful feet or knees or hips or arthritic fingers. We don't want them. We don't want heart issues or breathing issues. We don't want cancer or diabetes. Not one of us is looking for relationship troubles, betrayals, or abuse. No one is itching for depression or anxiety, bipolar conditions, or any other kind of mental illness, because suffering hurts. Suffering is debilitating. Suffering leaves us feeling alone and unloved, unwanted, uncared for, and lost. But suffering is also a big part of how we understand Jesus and the good news and God's love that Jesus gives to all of us. The reading we just heard from Isaiah, which we also hear primarily during Lent and Holy Week. That reading from Isaiah is a primary descriptor for us of what it is that Jesus is willing to do in order to save us and redeem us, poor sinners that we are. The story of Jesus' passion and death shows us that Jesus is willing to be struck down, wounded, oppressed, afflicted for us. We discover that by God's love for us, Jesus is willing to suffer every imaginable denigration so that we might be saved. Jesus isn't suffering for the fun of it. He isn't suffering because he must. Out of love for the likes of us, Jesus is willing to suffer all so that we might be saved. Now, in Isaiah's day, the servant described in chapter 53 could have been an individual who was willing to be demeaned by those who had taken Israel into exile. It also may have been a group description encompassing all of Israel, with the exile itself being the suffering. Those of us living post-resurrection, we know that this passage also describes our Lord Jesus, because we know that Jesus is willing to suffer and that Jesus is calling us to that same kind of service. But we still don't want to suffer. Like James and John today, we would rather find the glory. We would rather have some of the limelight, the fame, a little celebrity, please. That would be great. Because this is what James and John were hoping for when they asked Jesus their question at the beginning of our gospel. They ask, "We want to sit at your right and left hands. We want to be your number one and your number two when you come into your glory." Now, they were followers of Jesus. They were among the 12 who had been named as followers. They were brothers, just like Peter and Andrew, so they had every right to ask that question. At least that's what they thought. Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem. They knew that something big and important was going to happen, and they were hoping for and rooting for Jesus' elevation to power and authority, and they wanted to be that chosen next-in-line duo for Jesus and the kingdom. That's the kind of action they wanted, kind of action we might all like. James and John came to Jesus to ask this question, believing in Jesus' glorification. Even though Jesus has been making it clear that as he goes to Jerusalem, suffering, death, and rising again is what is on the menu. So Jesus asked James and John if they're prepared to drink the cup he drinks, to be baptized as he is. Jesus knows that what he's talking about is suffering for the benefit of others. But I don't think that James and John know what he's talking about. Because they say, "Yes, of course, we're ready for that." They're prepared. They're ready to step into Jesus' glory But Jesus tells them that it isn't up to him to make one of them on his right or one on his left. But then Jesus brings the entire topic to the attention of all the disciples. The other 10 are not quite happy about it. But when it comes down to it, this is then the third time in the last two chapters in Mark's gospel that Jesus is teaching his closest friends, the people he spends the most time with, that in God's kingdom, being number one means something completely different from what they seem to be thinking. Jesus reminds them that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and behave as tyrants. If you're looking for that, Jesus is telling them, look elsewhere. It's not supposed to be that way for us who follow Jesus, for us as children of God. When Jesus first announced his suffering and death, Peter was upset because Peter thought that the Messiah should be the one who lorded it over the people. Jesus rejected that. When the disciples told the parents not to bring their children and Jesus scolded them, Jesus reminded the disciples that the last will be first and the first will be last. And now, with James and John, Jesus tells us that if we want to be great, service. If you want to be first, you have to be ready to be a slave. This is the paradox of the gospel. And it's the true power of God's love, not from the top down, but from within. We aren't supposed to rule anyone. Instead, we are to find ways to help, to assist, to care for and care about the people around us. We are to engage our neighbors, not with demands or forced activities, but rather with love and forgiveness, like God in Christ shows us. The most powerful line in today's gospel for me is the final one, where Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." You see, we want to be on Jesus' side if he came to be served, because then, serve me, here we go. Are we ready to be on Jesus' team if it calls for us serving others? That's the question that Jesus is confronting us with. But the amazing good news is that Jesus continues to teach this reality of service. He continues to model this reality of service. He continues to emphasize this and call us to this type of service for neighbor. When we are called by Jesus, we are called to die to our selfishness and to live for serving friends and neighbors, family, strangers, even enemies. That service can cause us to suffer. And then we're right back to Isaiah and to the suffering servant hymn. But Jesus shows us what it can be like to live that life of love. And he calls us to follow him anyway. Oftentimes, we are looking for perks, for benefits, for extras. We're looking for that corner office, the company car. We're looking for stock options. This is what James and John are plugging for in their question for Jesus today. Many people all around us are on a quest to be powerful, to have authority, to make their dreams come true. And this looks a possibility. Come on, it was a possibility that Peter implied, but James and John asked for it by name. We want to be right and left. We want to be one and two. But rather than the kind of perks that the world uses to entice us, serving one another is our calling. Not because we don't have power or authority, and not because we can't have our dreams come true, but because service comes from, is inspired by, and helps to grow God's love right here. This is something that Jesus speaks about and lives. This is where Jesus is heading in today's gospel. We think that we need what the world tells us is enticing. We think that we need just a little more. In reality, we don't need anything else, for God loves us already. And for God, there is no grades of love or levels of love or amounts of love. God loves us, period. God has made us his children, and we are saved through the love of God. What we get to do is share that news with everyone that we can. Sometimes, many times, that will be through service and care, loving and helping, even to the point of suffering for another. If so, then we are truly following Jesus and making God's kingdom real. Amen.